pray for us this morning. The Bible says in verse number 15 of the book of Mark, and I'm going to read down through verse 37, and then I'm going to take you through the Word of God and share with you. Some of you have heard these thoughts, but many of you have not. I mentioned this Wednesday night there as we partook of the Lord's Supper Wednesday night, and man, what a blessing that was to be able to do that with you, and thank God for grace and manifesting His presence among us. It was such an encouragement to be here. And but verse number 15 of the book of Mark, the Bible said, "And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, which he had scourged, when he had scourged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head." Now understand, that whole band there was not a band of playing, it was the band of soldiers. "And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it upon his head. And began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him." Man, they didn't know who they was worshiping, but praise God, they will one day, man. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Understand, these soldiers that day done it as a mock unto him, but they'll do it one day in reality. And but the Bible, the Bible says, when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him and put on his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. Now let me say this right here to you. The reason that they did not, that he did not partake of that, is because myrrh was used and the wine was used as a numbing substance. And they offered it there to those that were crucified because of the excruciating pain that the crucifixion would bring upon the body. But the Lord Jesus Christ did not partake of it. He did not allow anything to deaden the punishment of sin upon him. Understand, the punishment that he bore that day, and we're going to look at that, was for you and I. It was not his punishment, it was our punishment. But he refused the wine and the myrrh there. And when they had crucified him, verse 24, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, that's 9 o'clock in the morning, and they crucified him. And the superscription of the accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe." And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, that would be 12 o'clock, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, that would be 3 o'clock. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, "Behold, he calleth Elias." And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him a drink, saying, "Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down." And Jesus cried with a loud voice, and what he cried there was, "It is finished, and into my hand, Father's, into thy hand I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, God, for the privilege, God, that you give us to gather, Lord, in your house, Lord, on your day, God, to celebrate the resurrection, Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that I'm a Christian today. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that I'm a child of God. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, God, for salvation. And Lord, I pray this morning, God, as you've stirred our heart, God, about, Lord, this message and, Lord, bypassing Calvary. And, Lord, I pray, Father, today that you would take us, Lord, and ever, Lord, magnify, God, your word in our hearts. May the word of God, Lord, go, God, and lodge in the hearts of those, God, that, Lord, and brother, may they take heed, Lord. We take heed to the word of God today. Lord, may we apply it to our lives. Lord, may the Holy Ghost of God examine us today and help us to see, God, where we are, God, in this passage of Scripture and, Lord, in the message this morning. Thank you again for your love and your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name I humbly pray. Amen. Notice in verse number 29, and the Bible said this, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, and saying, ah, that thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Understand this, there's a crowd today that is teaching and preaching and believing that you can bypass Calvary and get to heaven. There, this day, I want you to think about this crowd here just for a moment. This crowd had seen Jesus. They had heard of Jesus. Some of them had seen the miracles. They had seen how that Pilate had scourged him 39 times there with the cat of nine tails. They had watched the soldiers there place the crown of thorn upon his head. They had watched him there be crucified on that cross. They had watched there the blood flow off of his face, down his cheeks. They had watched there the blood continue to flow from his back and from his sides and from his front, from where he had been beaten there with the cat of nine tails and he had been scourged. They had watched as the soldiers there had broken his skin there with their fist and with the rod. And all they could do was walk by and wag their heads and mock and make fun. Now, understand this, as I went home, I was going to preach this morning on those that bypass Calvary. I was going to preach on those that are close enough to see, those that are close enough to say, those that are close enough to scorn, and those that are close enough to hear, but yet they bypass Calvary. But as I was reading this morning, the Lord reminded me of the cup. Over there in Matthew chapter number 26, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn there this morning. I want to say this morning, I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He did not bypass Calvary. Amen. The crowd bypassed the cross as He was there. But thank God today, the Lord Jesus didn't bypass the cross. You say, why? What's so important about the cross? Well, Lord being our helper this morning, we want to take some scripture and preach to you for just a few minutes on the importance of the cross. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. The Bible says this, if you have your Bible. Jesus there, this was after the Last Supper. They departed alone there into the Garden of Gethsemane. He took Peter and James and John. And he said, watch and pray with me. He said, the Lord went off and he began to pray and the disciples went to sleep. And here's where we are in verse Matthew 26, verse number 39. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto them, Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Jesus there in the garden that night as he began to pray. And the Bible says there that he prayed till his sweat became as great drops of blood. And I believe that's called the kenosis theory, and the kenosis thing. I'm not real sure, but it is scientifically proven, and you can ask your doctor about this, that the body can take such stress and get under such agony that the pores where you sweat will actually bleed drops of blood. That the agony and the stress is so great upon the body that instead of sweating, it will actually sweat blood. And that was exactly what was happening that night in the garden. Now understand this, the reason that Jesus was praying this prayer is because he knew something about the cup. Now, a lot of people don't understand the cup, and the Lord being our helper this morning, I want to share with you why the Lord was so concerned about saying, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Understand this, Jesus Christ was 100% man. He was born there of a virgin. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ was 100% man. He was 100% God. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And understand this day, he knowing all things. Remember, he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He knew what it was to be with God. He knew what it was to spend in the presence of God. Remember this, he was 100% God while he was on earth, even though him and his father there was in different atmospheres, I guess you could say. Beloved, there was still a connection. But beloved, Jesus Christ was fixing the face of 3 hours in his life that he was really concerned about. And he prayed, Father, if it be thy will. He said, Father, if it would be your will, would you let this cup pass from me? And he came back to his disciples, and they were there, and he found them asleep. And he said, what, could you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour? He said, watch and pray. And he went a little further, and he prayed the second time. And notice in Matthew 26:39, the burden was so great that the Bible says that he fell upon his face. I want you to think about that just for a moment. Sometimes when we pray, we pray going down the road. Well, I pray sitting at my desk. I pray walking. Sometimes I pray sitting in a chair. Sometimes I pray kneeling. Sometimes I pray standing. And beloved, when the burden gets so heavy and you just can't go on, you just fall on your face. And Jesus in the garden that night fell on his face. The burden that he was bearing, the reproach that he was fixing to take upon himself, beloved, which was my sin and your sin and the anger and the wrath of God against sin. Beloved, it was so great upon him that the Bible said there that he fell upon his face and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. What's so bad about the cup? What was the dread of the cup? What was so bad about it? Why did he say that? Revelation chapter 8, verse number 13. The Bible says this, and I'm gonna take you somewhere. Just give me just a moment. You don't have to turn there yet. I want you to turn in just a moment. You be turning to Psalms chapter number 75 because you need to see this verse in your Bible. But in Revelation chapter number 8, verse number 13, I'm going to read this to you as you're turning. You're going to Psalms chapter number 75. Revelation chapter number 8, verse number 13. The Bible says this, listen to me as you're turning. And I beheld and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. This is in future time. John the Revelator was on the Isle of Patmos. God called him up into the third heaven to see things of the future. And beloved, we are living in those days that these things can come to pass at any time. I'm beloved, there's nothing that's keeping the Lord from rapturing the church out. And if you're not ready to go this morning, I'd make sure I got ready. But understand, John was seeing what was going to happen after the rapture of the church of the tribulation period. And when he opened the scroll there in Revelation 8:13, and he seen, and the Bible said this, that the angel said, was flying through the earth, saying, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth." Why? Well, we know this, that the Bible teaches us in 1 Thessalonians that the church, that we are not appointed under wrath. That's why we're not going through the tribulation. Remember this, the tribulation is God's judgment against the world and God's judgment against the nation of Israel. I'm not going to be there, but it's God's judgment. Okay? And as this angel's flying through, and we're going to go through some of these in just a moment, but this angel is flying through the earth here at the, and he's saying, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants." One woe would be one thing. But just how bad is it going to be that one angel is crying, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth"? Go to, you're in Psalms chapter 75, verse number 8. Your Bible says in Psalm 75, verse number 8, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." Now understand this. Even if you've drank coffee, you don't drink coffee, you've probably seen somebody after they drank coffee and you've looked in the bottom of the cup. And when you've looked in the bottom of the cup of coffee and you've seen the little particles that's been left or the little bit of skim there that's been left on the cup, that's the dregs. That's the dregs. That's what's left over after the cup. Notice what the Bible said. "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. The wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same." What happened to the cup? Where's the cup? What happened? The Bible said there that he poureth out the same. Notice there what it says though, "But the dregs thereof, the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." Now go to Revelation chapter number 6. I'm going to show you some things. And I'm talking, what I'm fixing to share with you is not the cup. What I'm fixing to share with you is just the dregs of the cup. Because when we get here to Revelation chapter number 6 and we begin to see the wrath of God that's poured out upon this world, and all it is the dregs, is what has been left over, because somewhere between here and Psalms chapter 75 and the book of Revelation, the cup has been poured out. Is that not what it says? It says, "Which is poured out with the mixture." So let's look in Revelation chapter number 6. Remember in Revelation 8, he says, "Woe, woe, woe." But in Revelation chapter number 6, the sun has already became black, the moon has already turned to blood, and a third of the stars have fallen from heaven. And look at what Revelation chapter 6, verse number 16 says. "And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of wrath is come, whom shall be able to stand?" In the cup of the Lord, now let's go back to Psalm 78. "In the cup of the Lord, the wine is red, it is full of mixture, and he poureth out the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out." You know what's in that cup? Is the wrath of God. And here, we're just on the brink there of Revelation. We've not even got into the seals, and the men of the earth is crying out to the rocks, "Please fall upon us." Why? Because the wrath of God is so great. The wrath of God is being poured out upon the people of this world who has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, who has rejected the gospel. And beloved, the wrath of God is fixing to be poured out. I'm not the whole cup. I'm just what's been left over. And beloved, they're crying that God, that the rocks would kill them. And we ain't even got started yet in the book of Revelation. Go to Revelation chapter 8, number 7. Listen to these. The first angel sounded, and there followed hell and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Verse number 8. And the third part of the sea became blood. Verse number 9 at the bottom of there. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third, or verse number 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea that and life had died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Look in verse number 10. There was a star fell from heaven called wormwood, and part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Look in verse number 12. The sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld, and I heard an angel through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" Now, this has already happened, not in this day, but in this angel comes and cries out, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" What they're saying, they're saying this has been bad, but guess what? It's fixing to get worse. You say, "Preacher, you're scaring me." I'm not trying to scare you this morning. I'm not going to be there. You don't have to be there. I'm trying to show you the wrath of God this morning. Now, let's keep on turning here. Look in verse number 9, verse number 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and of them which was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any trees, not only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Look in 9:15. Or let's look at 6. And in those days, chapter 9, verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Man, I remember there that as having COVID, when we had COVID, and I felt so bad. And man, I was there sick for 11 days. And man, I remember, you can ask my wife, I'd wake up. She'd wake up and I was praying, "God, kill me. God, I feel so bad. Just take me on home." And I knew where I was going. I knew that there was a better day of coming. But these people here were seeking death to get away from the wrath of God. They were seeking death to get away from the pain and the agony and the suffering that they were going through. And they were seeking death and they could not find it. Look in Revelation chapter 9, verse 15. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year to slay a third part of the men. Look in verse number 18. By these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were likened to serpents and had heads, and with them which they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands. They were these angels that came out. And there was a number of army of horsemen that came with them. There are 200,000 of them in verse number 16. Have your Bibles turn over to chapter number 14. We have there's kind of a parenthesis there. Our chapter number 16. Chapter number 15 gives you the vials of the angels of the seven last plagues and the bowls of the wrath of God. Look at this in verse number 1 of chapter number 15. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the what? Wrath of God. Now, you can go home and read all that, but I want to skip to chapter number 16. I want you to see some things. Look in the first vial that's released of the wrath of God. Now, the Bible said this in verse number 2, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped the image." Verse number 3, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." Number 4, "And the third angel poured out of his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood." Verse number 8, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give glory to God." Verse number 10, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." Verse number 18, "And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." Verse 20, "And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God." And I forgot to mention you over there in Romans chapter, Revelation chapter number 8, where that beast, God opens the pit, and that those beasts come out with they look like horses. They have the head of a man, the body of a horse, and they have a tail of a scorpion, and they go around stinging everybody. And men seeking death and cannot find it. I'm talking about the wrath of God is being poured out upon those that have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is just the dregs. Where's the rest of the cup? The rest of the cup is this. Isaiah 53 says that he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By stripes we are healed. As they led Jesus there into Pilate's hall that night, and as he stood before Pilate and he opened not his mouth, and the crowd cried out and said, "Release unto us Barabbas." He said, "What shall I do with this man called Christ?" They said, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate took him in there. The Bible says that he scourged him. And what that means there is they take him. There's different ways of tying men up when they get scourged. But more or less what it is, yes, sometimes they run a loop through the ceiling or across a post and a beam, and they stretch the arms out. They tie ropes around the arm, and they stretch the body out just like this, so it stretches the skin. And those Roman soldiers took a cat of nine tails, and understand this, the Roman soldiers were at the very best of what they did. These were trained men. And that cat of nine tails was a long whip that had on the end of it was embedded there with bones and shards of metal and different things. And the Lord Jesus Christ, there that night as they took him there, and there that morning, and they scourged the Lord Jesus. And remember this, they had ripped his clothes off of him. And he was standing there naked and ashamed there before those men. And they took and they stretched out his body. And that Roman soldier took those 39 stripes. And there he took that whip. And beloved, he strapped the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as that whip there would hit that body, and beloved, that bones of those pieces of bones and those pieces of metal would latch in there like hooks. And he would leave it there, and then he would yank it and jerk it out. They say that most of the time that men never survived a scourging. They say most of the time by the time that they get through 39 stripes that their entrails is hanging out. And they scourged the Lord Jesus. They laid him down there to the hall of Praetorium, and the soldiers took him. And they took that crown of thorns and they took it and they placed it upon his head. And it's not like the thorns that we have. It's the thorns that I've seen the wreath of thorns there that they brought back from that land of Israel. And the thorns are anywhere from an inch and a half to 2 inches long. After they had scourged the Lord Jesus Christ, and there they had took their fist, the Bible said there, and they had buffeted Him. And then they took that crown of thorns and they placed it upon His head. And then the Bible says they took that reed and they smote Him on the head. Driving those thorns down through into His skull, there into His face, and as the blood began to flow, remember He had been praying in the garden, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. He had just received the 39 stripes. He had just been had a crown of thorns placed upon His head. The soldiers would take the rod and smote Him. Then the Bible says they took their fist and they blindfolded Him. They placed that purple robe on Him and blindfolded Him and then hit Him and said, "Prophesy who it is that hit you." But that wasn't the cup. That was all men's anger. That was not God's wrath.
Right.
God allowed it to happen. But that was not God's wrath. Man done all of that. And then they led Him there up the hill to Calvary. And there they took Him on that cross and they laid Him there. And the Bible says, as a lamb before shears is dumb, and as a sheep before shears is dumb, and as a lamb before slaughter, He openeth not His mouth. And they took and they laid Him there upon the cross there that day. And they took those spikes and they drove them there through His nail, through His hands and through His feet. And as He laid there and they took that spike, and then they would, the Romans, they dig out holes there in the ground. They'd take that cross. I'm there, and as they stood it up there, it would drop down into the ground. And the crucifixion was so torturous. Because what it would do is they would put so much stress into their chest cavity that it would shut their diaphragm off. And the reason that they would nail their feet together is because they would take, and your just the natural saving of yourself, your body would want to push up to take another breath. But every time He would push up, those feeling the pain of that nails through His feet. And then as He was hanging there, feeling the pain of the nails going through His hands. And remember, He refused the vinegar and myrrh, to anything to deaden or numb the pain. And all of this was still the wrath of man. Where's the cup? The Bible says this, that from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness was upon the face of the earth. God cut the lights out. And it was during this time that the cries were made. It was during this time, understand this, that never this man who knew no sin, beloved, was made sin that we might be made the righteous of God. He had never, remember, sin separates us from the Father. Beloved, God's angry with the wicked every day. Beloved, God does not condone sin. It's the sin that brings out the wrath of God. Jesus had cried over there in the garden that day to sweat became as great drops of blood. Understand, everything that we see, yes, it was the shedding of blood, beloved, that brought the remission of sin. Beloved, it was the travail of His soul, according to the book of Isaiah, that satisfied God. And from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, God cut the lights out and poured the cup out on Him. What cup? Cup of the wrath of God against sin. You've seen what the dregs was at the end in the book of Revelation. Just what the bottom of the cup holds. Jesus Christ took the whole cup. The whole cup. God cut the lights out. And beloved, as God there turned the lights out and Jesus began to cry out. And He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No other time had God in eternity had God the Father and God the Son been separated. No other time in eternity had God the Father, beloved, been angry or had wrath against the Son. Beloved, it was those 3 hours that day that God took my sin and all of His anger and all of His wrath against my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world, and He poured it out upon Jesus for my sake and your sake. And He at after the cup, and God turned the lights out. God poured His cup out on His Son. And what we seen was bad enough. What we read is bad enough. But I just wonder how bad it was in those 3 hours. When you read all of that in the book of Revelation, and that's just the bottom of the cup. How bad was it that day? What caused all of that? My sin. Me. See, the Bible said God's angry with the wicked every day. It was my sin, Brother Bobby, that God was angry with. That lying that I do, that covetousness that I have, the stealing that I've done, all of those things, dishonoring my parents, cursing the Lord, taking His name in vain. God was angry at me. But Jesus took that cup from me. He dreaded it. It was such a dread because He was God knowing all things, that He said, Father, that separation that sin is going to cause between me and you, I don't know. I don't want to be there. I don't want to face it. Is that not what He said? If it be willing, let this cup pass from me. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Aren't you glad that He took the cup? Aren't you glad that He took your place? See, the Bible said this in Isaiah 53. It says, He shall see the travail of His soul, and He shall be satisfied. So He wanted to bypass Calvary at that moment in the garden. You say, oh no, no, why did He pray it then? He knew what was coming. But because He loves me and you so much, and He loved this world so much, that He chose to take the cup. He chose to take the wrath of Almighty God. Not the dregs of it, but all of it. Man, there's no comprehension, no way you and I can comprehend what went on in those 3 hours of darkness when God cut the lights out so men could not see the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see in 14 chapters of the book of Revelation the wrath of God and men seeking death and crying for it. And we see the wrath of God destroying a third part of men and a third part of the waters and a third part of the sun. And that's just the dregs. Oh, how bad and how great the wrath of God must have been toward me and you. We see the crowd. We've seen the cross. We hear the cry. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned His back on His Son so He could pour out His wrath upon Him. And then we see the cry. The centurion, remember the first crowd, as they walked by, they wagged. The Bible says they, as they passed by, and they wagged upon Him. They scoffed and made fun of Him. They wagged their heads. But you remember that centurion at the foot of the cross? He made this cry. He said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Amen. You're here this morning. There's only one way you're going to escape that wrath.
Amen.
And that's like the centurion saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God, and that Jesus died in my place." You will not bypass Calvary and get to heaven.
Amen.
You say, "I've heard that story. I've heard it told. I've heard it preached. I've read about it." These people seen it with their own eyes and still did not believe. I want y'all to come. I don't know your heart this morning, but I'm thankful that He took that cup.
Amen.
I'm thankful that I have redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that He allowed His body to be broken. Remember, that's what He said at the Last Supper. "This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'm thankful for the blood of the New Testament, that He said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." You see, for 3 days, you can begin to play softly. As 3 days there after they took Him off the cross, the Bible said that He went and preached to the spirits in prison. He went to hell and released the captives. Not hell as we know it, but paradise, where Abraham and all of them was. And He went because the Bible says that many of the bodies which saints of the saints which slept arose. The graves were opened. He went down into the lower part of the earth and gathered them, because paradise is no more. It's all hell now. Hell hath enlarged herself. But for 3 days and 3 nights He laid in the heart of the earth. He went and preached the spirits in prison. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all of them. He led captivity. And the Bible says He led captivity captive. He brought them out. The Bible says that He took the keys of death and hell. He looked at John over there in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 18, and He said, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell." You know, the devil don't even own the keys to his own house anymore.
Amen.
I mean, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Y'all remember over there where Mary came to Him, He said, "Touch me not, for I've not yet ascended to my Father."
Amen.
You say, what happened? Why could Mary not touch Him? Listen to the words of this song. Listen to the words of this song.